same source sheet as before. I will say again that this class is dedicated by Elaine Greenberg in memory of her dear father, Harry Levine's yard site, Tzvi Hirsch ben Chayev Shlomo Halevi. Yard site is the 13th of Kislev, and may he benefit from our learning. And we start on Rechavam. So, Rechavam, as I said to you before, is the son of King Solomon. And in his day, there's a terrible schism among the Jews. Take a look at your sheet, please, at source number 12. And that's where we pick up. This is with the death of Solomon. And Solomon lay with his ancestors. He was buried in the city of his father David, right, Ir David. And his son Rechavam reigned after him. And Rechavam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to enthrone him. He is crowned in the city of Shechem. When it says all Israel, based on related verses in the text, I believe what it means specifically is the northern tribes. You need to know a little bit of geography here of the land of Israel and of how the tribes received their portions. If you can picture the map of Israel, I didn't prepare one beforehand or I would share screen with it. I didn't think about it. But if you can picture a map of Israel in your head and you picture where Jerusalem is. So from the latitude of Jerusalem and south across the country, end to end, east to west, the western border being the Mediterranean, the eastern border being the Jordan River for this part of the land. There was land also Transjordan, but right now we're talking about the part that's between the Mediterranean and the Jordan. I saw the note about muting. I muted everybody by default, but right now there's noise in the hallway where I am, so you may be hearing that. I'm just going to be as loud as I can. So the area from the Mediterranean to the Jordan, from the south of Israel all the way up to Jerusalem, that whole area is the province of the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Simon, Shimon, is also in that area. They have cities. They're scattered within the tribe of Judah. They don't get a regular plot. They get cities within Judah. Then when you move north of Jerusalem, you hit Benjamin and all the other tribes, except for the ones who have land east of the Jordan, right? Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. So when it says all Israel comes to anoint Rechavam in Shechem, to enthrone Rechavam in Shechem, that's referring to the tribes who live in the north, not to Judah. Shechem is north of the land of Judah. It's everybody but Judah and Shimon living in Judah. Is that clear? You follow? Okay, that's going to matter later. So Solomon is done. Rechavam is now the king. Rechavam is crowned in Shechem. This is the beginning of chapter 12 in the book of Kings. But now take a look at source 13, which jumps within the same chapter. And King Rechavam sent Adoram, who was in charge of taxes. There's some discussion as to whether it's taxes or forced labor, but he's in charge of something that the people did not like. So Rechavam sends Adoram in the north, and all Israel stoned him with rocks, and he died. And King Rechavam strengthened himself to ascend a chariot and flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against David's house until today. And all Israel heard that Yerubbaal had returned. We're going to talk about Yerubbaal in a little bit. But Yerubbaal is a former official from Solomon's time who had fled. He comes back from Egypt. They sent and called him to the community and enthroned him over Israel, over that northern area. Everybody north of Judah. No one followed the house of David other than the tribe of Judah alone. Rechavam came to Jerusalem, gathered the whole house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin as well, 180,000 young men, warriors to fight with the house of Israel to return the throne to Rehoboam, son of Solomon. So this is the schism. This is the civil war between the north and the south in the land of Israel. And what I want to know is how this happened. How did you go from everybody gathering to anoint Rehoboam in Shechem, to enthrone him in Shechem, in the beginning of chapter 12, to killing his tax collector and splitting off from his kingdom just 17 verses later? How did you get to that point? And what does it say about the house of David? Everyone understands the problem? Okay. So the first thing we need to know is that this was not a new fault line between the north and the south in Israel. That didn't start here. Where is the first split among the Jewish people? When's the first split? Yes, Rose.
When they come across the land, there's already because the three tribes that want to stay in Jordan don't want to come in. And then they say, well, I'm coming, then I'll help have everything sorted out and they'll go back. So already there's a bit of a schism there.
Right. So Rose points out that you have a split when they enter the land of Canaan. And two tribes, Reuben and Gad, say, we want to stay east of the Jordan. A year, although they commit to fight for everybody else. But there's actually an earlier split. There's an earlier split. And yes, Solomon seems to have chosen Rehoboam, Miriam, as far as we can tell. When's the earlier split? Dahlia, you're muted. I can't hear you.
In the desert.
In the desert? Where is there a split in the desert?
Well, there's all with the golden calf and whatever, I don't
know. Now, I'm thinking of something more clear. Eti.
Between Lot and Abraham.
Oh, that's a pre-Jewish people split. Eti goes way early. Lot and Abraham, but that's before there's a Jewish people. I am thinking about what happened in last week's Torah portion and continues in the Torah portions that are being read on Shabbat. Take a look, please, at source number 14. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Right? He says that to Laban, Rachel's father. And Laban said, better that I give her to you than that I give her to another man. Stay with me. And Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years. They were just a number of days in his eyes in his love for her. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. No, 7 years are done. And Laban gathered all of the local people and he made a feast. And that evening he took his daughter Leah, he brought her to Jacob, and he came to her. And Laban gave her his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. Right? You remember the story, the swap. And it was in the morning, behold, she was Leah. He said to Laban, what is this that you have done to me? Did I not work with you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me? And Laban says, oh, well, we don't marry off the younger one before the older one here. Work for me for another 7 years. That way you can marry both of them. And that's what, in fact, happens. So that starts bitterness between Leah and Rachel, which you see. Sorry, someone have a question? Okay. So you see the bitterness between Leah and Rachel in source number 15. Leah has 4 sons. Rachel saw that she had not birthed to Jacob, and Rachel became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, give me children. If not, I shall die. That's her assault. She lashes out at Jacob because she can't have kids, like it's his fault, like he's not trying hard enough. And then it gets worse. Take a look at source number 16. This story involves something called a mandrake. And whether it was really a mandrake or something else, in Hebrew it's called dudaim, it apparently had to do with fertility. So Reuben, son of Leah, went during the wheat harvest, and he found mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me from your son's mandrakes." Leah said, "A small thing that you took my husband, and now you will take my son's mandrakes?" And Rachel said, "He can sleep with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. I really want to have this fertility plant." So you have this bitterness between them about who is the legitimate wife. And that bleeds over into their children. Because Rachel ends up with Joseph and Benjamin as her sons. Leah has six sons of her own, and there is a split between them. If you take a look at source number 17 from this coming week's Torah portion, can people hear me over the noise in my background? I'm astounded that you can hear. It is way loud. I'm in a boys' high school, and there's a period change. It's not usually this loud, but right now it is. But it is supposed to have ended 2 minutes ago, so I'm hopeful that we'll get into class. So, what, Ruchama?
I don't think that this is separation. I think that children are different in every place, in every family. He can think like this, he can think like this. But actually, Yaakov, at the end, made them a whole nation when he blesses the 12 people.
So he tries to.
So he makes them a nation.
Ruchama, the answer is he tries to, but he clearly doesn't succeed. Watch what happens. Take a look at source number 17. This is before what you're talking about. Jacob raised his eyes and he saw Esav coming, his brother who wants to kill him. 400 men with him, a very intimidating army. And he split the children between Leah, Rachel, and the two maids. So each woman has her kids with her. So far, so good. But look at the hierarchy now. He placed the maids first with their children, then Leah and her children after them, and Rachel and Joseph after them. Acharon, acharon, chaviv. In the Hebrew, you put the most beloved one last, protected. And then you find in source number 18 the story of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old, herding the sheep with his brothers. He was a na'ar, a youth, with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Bilhah and Zilpah are those maids we mentioned before. Unclear when they are maids and when they are full wives, but the point is, he's hanging out with them, not with the children of Leah. And then I brought you in source number 19, when the Torah lists the leaders of the tribes, it first lists Reuben, Simon, Judah, Yisachar, Zebulun. Those are all the sons of Leah. They are one group listed first. Then Joseph, which is Ephraim and Manasseh, these two sons. And then Benjamin, the sons of Rachel. And then Dan and Asher from Bilhah. And then Gad and Naphtali from Zilpah. The point is, they keep being broken out based on their mothers. They really have a view of themselves as being different from each other, and it continues in the wilderness long after the time of Jacob, Ruchama. I brought you in source 20 a list of three different events which occurred which pit the children of Rachel against the children of Leah. I see you, Claudette. Hang in there. So you have a trial at one point in which Joshua, the leader, puts Achan on trial. Joshua is from Rachel. Achan is from Leah. And Joshua is worried that the people are going to think that it's a personal thing, that he is picking on Achan. In Judges chapter 15, we learned about this last year when we learned about Samson. Remember, the people of Judah turned Samson over to the Philistines. Samson comes from Dan, which is from the mother Bilhah. He's turned over by Judah, who comes from Leah. Bilhah is really more associated with Rachel. And then the end of the book of Judges, you have a literal war between Benjamin and everybody else. Benjamin believes the Jews are out to harm them. It's an ongoing split. Claudette, you were going to say...
I
Yes.
Right? Now, all the other tribes from Simeon and all those that were in the north, Judah broke away and ended up in Jerusalem, right?
So Judah doesn't break away. The other tribes break away from Judah.
From Judah. So therefore, he did not stay with his brothers. That tribe did not stay with their brother. They broke away. And Benjamin is from Rachel. And they, that was the tribe
yes.
that was with Judah.
So that's where I'm going next. That's where I'm going next. Because what we now find is, as Claudette just described, a split between Judah and everyone else. And it is very surprising to see Benjamin stay with Judah, as Claudette just noted. But we see it before Benjamin joins. We find in the book of Samuel, in chapter 11, again in chapter 15, they do a military census, and they say, this is the number from Judah, and this is the number of soldiers from everybody else. Judah has his own separate identity. So much so, take a look at source number 21. After King Saul dies, Saul was from Benjamin. And then King David is supposed to become king, but Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, is still alive. Look what happens in source 21. The men of Judah came. They anointed David there as king over the house of Judah. So Judah crowns David. However, Abner, son of Ner, Saul's general, took Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and brought him to Machanaim, and he enthroned him over Gilad, and over Ashur, over Yisrael, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. So there, you have a split between Judah and the south, and everybody else, including Benjamin, saying, we have a different king. They say Ish-bosheth. And only after Ish-bosheth dies will they ultimately go over to David. There's another example. Sorry?
Also, I think that the biggest separation was with Shevet Levi.
So Shevet Levi is its own discussion. I'm not going to go there. Because it's not really, they merge with all the other tribes. It's not a split, it's actually a merger. They lose their individual identity. But that's its own discussion. I'm not going to go there right now. In 22, I bring you another example, but I think I've brought you enough examples at this point that I don't want to confuse things by adding more narratives. The point is, you see this split exists before the time of Rehavam. There actually is one point where they're unified. In Samuel 2, chapter 19, there is unity in supporting King David. And then right after that, in source number 23, we find a man from Benjamin, Sheva, son of Bichri, a Benjaminite, who says, we have no share in David. We have no portion in the son of Jesse. That's David. Each should go to his own tent, Israel. And each Israelite left David to follow Sheva, son of Bichri. There's a revolt against David. It is again an attempt to split off north and south. So what we're seeing here, yeah, what I want you to get out of all of this is that you have a long-standing problem that can really be traced back to Leah and Rachel that follows through down the line, even though Benjamin ultimately, for reasons that are still unclear, is going to side with Judah here. But the split is not new. That's what I'm really getting at here. And that's the first thing we need to know. Clear? Okay. Yes, Claudette.
When I think about it, the split started when Judah, when Joseph was sold.
I didn't want to go too far into that whole discussion. Some of you were there when I gave a class at Beth Tikva a couple of years ago, way before COVID. It was the other villains of Passover, and I talked about it then. In that class, but I'm not going to really go there now. But yes, part of it may involve the sale of Joseph. So that's item one we should be aware of. Item two we should be aware of. Who is this guy Rehavam? Who is Rehavam, son of Solomon? So the first thing we know is that his mother is named Naama, and she is from the nation of Ammon. We mentioned Lot briefly earlier. So Lot, Eti mentioned Lot. So Lot has two sons via his daughter, right? One is Moab and one is Ammon. Ammon and Moab become enemies of the Jews because when we wanted to go into the land of Israel, they would not give us food and they would not allow us through their land. So we were told that the males of Ammon and Moab are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but the females are allowed to marry in. And if you take a look at source number 24, you find the Talmud say that why does God allow the females to marry in? Because there are two women who are supposed to marry into the Jewish people and play a big role. God said to Abraham, I have two good cuttings to graft to you. Ruth of Moab and Naamah of Ammon. Naamah who marries Solomon, Naamah whose son is Rechavam. Judy, did you have your hand up? I couldn't tell. No? Okay. So, you have to be careful because this is an auction and then, you know, people get in trouble that way. There it sounds like Naamah is good. However, take a look at source number 25. When we read the story with Rechavam, we will find out, eventually descends into idolatry. And look who gets blamed for this. And his mother's name, Rechava's mother's name, was Naamah of Ammon. This is told in order to inform that he followed his mother's deeds, worshipping idols after 3 years. Right? His father was Solomon. His mother was this woman from Ammon. And we already know, because of what we talked about with Solomon, that Solomon's wives from the other nations pursued idolatry. And that ultimately influences Rechavam. So we already know we have a problem in this. More. Take a look now at source number 26, please. Because source number 26 fills in the gap for us between what you saw in source number 12 and what you saw in source number 13. In 12, we saw Rechavam crowned king. In 13, we saw the people stoning Rechavam's tax collector. What happened in between? Take a look at source number 26, for which I brought you the JPS translation rather than translate the whole thing myself. Rechavam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to acclaim him as king, right? That's what we saw already in my translation in source 12. Yeravam, son of Nevat, and now I can explain more about Yeravam. Yeravam was an officer of King Solomon. He was in charge of construction. But he rebelled against Solomon, and then he ended up fleeing to Egypt. So in Egypt, he learned about what had happened, that Rechavam was now king. For Yeravam had fled from King Solomon and had settled in Egypt. They sent for him. There were people who wanted him to lead, and they sent for him. And Yeravam, I keep saying Yeravam in Hebrew, you see it's Jeroboam in English. Anybody know what a Jeroboam is in English? It's a word, it's a noun. I think it's a wine barrel of a certain size. It's called a Jeroboam. I have a memory of that somewhere. So Jeroboam or Yeravam, and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rechavam or Rechaboam, which is not a wine thing as far as I know, as follows. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke which your father laid on us, and we will serve you. So Yeravam, representing this northern tribes, the assembly of Israel, that northern set, come to Rechavam, son of Solomon, and say, we're willing to be your people, but your father made things really hard for us. Way too many taxes, way too much labor. We can't do that. He answered them, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. I want 3 days to think. So the people went away. King Rechavam took counsel with the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. He said, what answer do you advise me to give to this people? They answered him, if you will be a servant to those people today and serve them, and if you respond to them with kind words, they will be your servants always. Okay? So the answer is, be gentle, listen to what they have to say, it'll be good. But he ignored the advice that the elders gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. What, he asked, do you advise that we reply to the people who said to me, lighten the yoke that your father placed upon us? And the young men who had grown up with him answered, speak thus to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us. Say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. My father imposed a heavy yoke on you. I will add to your yoke. My father flogged you with whips. I will flog you with scorpions. Very much in the headlines these days, the Egyptian scorpions. Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, since the king had told them, come back on the third day. The king answered the people harshly, ignoring the advice that the elders had given him. He comes down like a ton of bricks. He spoke to them in accordance with the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father flogged you with whips, but I will flog you with scorpions. The king did not listen to the people, for the Lord had brought it about in order to fulfill the promise the Lord had made through Ahia Shiloni to Yerubim, son of Nevat. We're going to talk about that. Don't worry about what's in the parentheses right now. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, we have no portion in David. No share in Jesse's son. To your tents, O Israel. Now look to your own house, O David. So the Israelites returned to their homes. But Rehoboam continued to reign over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. And there is your split, and there is your stoning of the tax collector, and there is Rehoboam needing to flee to Jerusalem. That's the issue. So the question now is, we now know two things. We know that there was an old fault line already there for generations and generations. And we know that Rehoboam was not very smart. We know that he picked the advice of his friends, the young people he grew up with, over the advice of the elders. He boasted, yeah, you think what my father did to you was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And he didn't listen. And the result is the people rebelled. Clear? So we can stop there when we learned about the schism. But I want to go further. Because I want to understand how we're supposed to read this story. What's behind this story? Why does this happen? And what am I supposed to learn from it? And I think there are two ways you could read this story. One way to read the story is a religious story. This is actually a story about God. And the other way to read it is that it's a political story. It's a lesson regarding hereditary monarchy. I think you could read it both ways. It's 10:57, so we're just going to start on the first one. But hopefully, next week we'll see the rest of it, and then we'll also learn about King Josiah, also known as Yoshiyahu. But let's start on the first one, unless there are questions. Let me not rush. No? Okay. So, in terms of the religious side of this, this is a story of divine... You already saw it a little bit in the parenthetical comment that was there in the text, which we're now going to come back to. We have already seen how Shlomo's story, Solomon's story, deteriorates because of the idolatry that is there from his wives. Well, God's reaction, you're going to be shocked, is to be angry. We've never seen that before. Yeah, God is not happy with what happens. And look at source number 27, which tells us what God says is going to happen as a result. God said to Solomon, because this was with you, this idolatry, you did not guard my covenant and my laws, which I commanded you. I will tear the throne from upon you and give it to your servant. But I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it from your son. But I will not tear the entire empire. I will give your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So God says, I'm going to take away the empire. He says, I'm only giving you one tribe. Judah and Benjamin are considered one tribe. And the reason they're considered one tribe is because they both possess Jerusalem. Jerusalem was actually partially in Judah's portion and partially in Benjamin's portion. So they're viewed as being a single unit. That's Don Isaac Abarbanel's explanation. But that's God's reaction. He does punish Solomon because the passage right after this, I didn't bring it on the sheet, talks about how God created two enemies for him. One was a man named Hadad of Edom, and one was Ritzon, king of Aram. And the two of them become for Solomon. But it becomes a really big issue in the next generation, the time of Rehoboam, thanks to this man, Yerobam. So what we'll do next time is see more about how God punishes Rehoboam for what his father did. And we'll talk about that, and obviously the issue as well of punishing the child for the sins of the parents. That's got to be part of this discussion. As well as punishing the nation for the sin of the king. And then we'll go into the political message as well. I thank Moish for putting in the chat, Jeroboam is a 3-liter bottle of wine. See that? Google is awesome. And then we'll also discuss, unless you knew that on your own. And then we'll also discuss Josiah and the reforms of his time, God willing, next week. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Everybody. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.